for it is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. If you want to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, I'll read that. It says that, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into obedience, into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now, strongholds are first established in your mind. That is why we are to take every thought captive. And behind a stronghold is a lie, a place of personal bondage where God's word has been subjugated to some unscriptural idea or personally confused belief that is held to be true by you in your mind. Behind every lie is a fear, and behind every fear is an idol. Idols are established wherever there exists a failure to trust in the provisions of God that are ours through Yeshua the Messiah. And some of the weapons that pull down these strongholds are God's word, the blood of the cross, and the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Strongholds are pulled down and confronted, bondage is broken as these spiritual weapons of our warfare are employed. And today I want to talk about employing these weapons to pull down strongholds. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The spirit of fear sometimes finds a place in somebody's natural temperament. But it's not just a human disposition or a character trait, and it is not from God. And it can immobilize and torment people, making them feel powerless and alone. But in 1 John 4, it says that the perfect love of God overcomes or casts out all fear. And if you know who you are in God and that God loves you, then fear doesn't reign in your life. Indecision or wrong decisions that are made could give place to bondage, and great human suffering comes because of fear. And in the face of fear, we need to remember our calling from God, and we need to know who we are in Him. Because we have within us the power of God through the Holy Spirit that enables us to not be victims of fear in our lives. And when we abide in the presence of Yeshua, the mind of Christ, the mind of Messiah, starts to become our mind. And we start making sound decisions and sound choices based on the Word of God, and applying His truth helps us to overcome the fear that leads to these strongholds being present in your life. And now Ephesians 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. But let's look at Hebrews 4, chapter 12. Hebrews 4, chapter 12. The first weapon that's mentioned as being mighty in God for pulling down strongholds is the Word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Now remember that if you have a stronghold in your life, it's based on a lie, and underneath that lie is a fear, and underneath that fear is an idol. We're going to start to uncover this when we look at how these weapons are employed. So the first weapon we have is the Word of God. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. It's in your heart that you are right with God or not in your own mind. If there's something that you haven't confessed, that you're keeping hidden or secret, that you're doing, that you're ashamed of, in your heart, that creates a way for the enemy to attack you. But God already knows it. It's not secret from him. So your best strategy by far is to confess to God and another person the exact nature of what it is you've been hiding or ashamed of so that the enemy can't use it against you. And that if you put light on it, then it's no longer in darkness. It's not hidden, but it becomes powerless to be a stronghold in your life anymore. Look at Psalm 138. We're talking about the Word of God, the first weapon that is mighty for pulling down strongholds. And then Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out to you, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. So the Lord is saying in his, through the psalmist in his word here, that he magnifies his word above all his name. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are the word of God, the blood of the cross, and the name of Jesus. And it says in the word that in the day that you cry out to him, he will answer you and make you bold with strength in your mind, your will, and your emotions, in your inner being where these fears and strongholds take root. He can make you strong there if you fall on his word. The word of God has truth in it that will counteract any lie that a stronghold is based on in your life. When you find the truth in the Word of God that counteracts the lie, and you shed the light of that truth onto the lie, it can no longer have power over your life and cannot be a stronghold in your life anymore. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We've got to throw in a little Torah, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You see, the Word of God is a mighty weapon in pulling down strongholds if you employ it, if you get into it and look for a truth to counteract the lie, if you get into the Word that sheds light on the fear that is holding up that lie, and if you find the truth in the Word of God of who you are in Messiah, then the idol that's all that stronghold is based on hasn't got a chance. They can't stand in the face of who God really is. You see, we are so busy telling God how big the mountains in our life are that we forget to tell the mountains in our life how big God is. God is bigger than the mountains in our lives. He's bigger than earthquakes. He's bigger than tsunamis. He's bigger than volcanic eruptions. He's bigger than anything. And he can overcome problems. If you seek him, you will find him. The problem is we're not seeking and we're not asking and we're not knocking at the right door if we have issues and problems and strongholds, because the Word of God tells us everything we need to know. And Jesus said, those who seek find. Those who ask get answers. Those who knock, the door is open to them. If you have a stronghold in your life, find a truth in the Word of God to counteract the lie that's holding up that stronghold. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When there's a stronghold in your life, the demon on your shoulder wants to remind you that you're condemned or that there's something wrong with you, that you're rejected, that you're unworthy. But when you have the truth and the Word of God, and you say to that demon, I'm in Messiah, there's no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. I walk in the Spirit. I don't walk according to the flesh anymore. And you, I don't have to listen to you, so you can just, you know, take a hike. Verse 11 of Romans 8, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through who His Spirit which dwells in you. Another truth from the Word of God. Now, you might have an ache or a pain, and in your thoughts, you might think, this could be something serious. I could be dying. What if I don't find out what it is? And it starts a fear that's based on a lie that leads to a stronghold. But in the truth of the Word of God is that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He gives life to your mortal bodies, not death. And His Spirit dwells in you. If you have accepted Yeshua as your Savior and your Messiah and your Lord, and you've asked for His Holy Spirit to come, He comes and He lives inside you. And so you find truth in the Word of God to counteract the lie that might be creating a stronghold in your life. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. See, the Spirit doesn't bring fear into your life. Devils bring fear into your life. Or your soul brings fear into your life. Your own mind, will, and emotions can bring fear into your life, but not the Spirit of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, it says in verse 16 of Romans 8. And then in 17 it says, and if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah in the kingdom of God. When the devil tries to tell you that you're unworthy, that you're unlovable, or that you should be rejected for who you are, you tell him, I'm an heir of the kingdom of God. I'm a child of the Most High, and you can't talk to me like that because I'm in Messiah, and Messiah is in me. If you talk that way to me, you're talking that way to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's not going to like it much. Verse 28 of Romans 8 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And remember, in John, Yeshua said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So since we're chosen and called by God, then all things work together for good if we love Him. Yeshua said there's only two commandments, love God and your neighbor as yourself. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments and they won't be burdensome. Finally, in verse 38 of Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, for I am persuaded, that means he's sure, he's positive, he can't be knocked off the stance, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, which are the fears that you might have today, or things to come, which are fears or problems that you might worry about tomorrow, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Now, if nothing can separate you from the love of God, why would you think that you're unworthy or that you should be rejected by men? If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to know who we are in Messiah. And when we know who we are in Messiah, there's not a lie or a fear that can create a stronghold in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Another truth in the Word of God that helps counteract lies and deceit about who we are. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your past cannot be held against you if you're having faith and trust in Yeshua and what he did on the cross for you. In Galatians 2:22, it says, I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but the life I live in the flesh. I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And let's look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is a regenerating power. And just as we owe our natural existence to the power of God and his spoken word, and when he breathed life into Adam, it was enough to send that life forward into every person who's ever lived, so we owe our new birth to the power of God's word and to the Holy Spirit's activation of that power in our life. God's intent for us as created beings is only completely fulfilled when our spirits are alive toward him. God's intent for you is only completely fulfilled when your spirit is alive and focused on him. As sin has produced spiritual death in people, so salvation in Yeshua the Messiah provides spiritual life. And this verse in 1 Peter tells us that the new life in us is the Word of God. The Word of God produces new life in us. Hallelujah. It's Scripture is in no way more manifest than this, that it has a power to bring spiritual life to all who open their minds and hearts to the truth that's in it. And in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does that through the word of God. God's will is to save us. And it's been effectively expressed in this, his word to us, his love letter to the church. It's, you know that it's his will to save us. And it's his word through the Holy Spirit that accomplishes the task of making you from a sinner into a saint. Hallelujah. Okay, the second weapon of our warfare is the blood of the cross. Let's look at some scriptures that tell how we can use the blood of the cross to win the spiritual battle in our life. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and by not loving their lives unto death. So we overcome the devil, the accuser of the brethren. One of the weapons we use to overcome him is the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross, this pure and spotless Lamb of God who died for you as a propitiation for your sins. And look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us and was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And therefore, he has disarmed principalities and powers. He has stripped them of any power or right to affect you in your life and made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them in it, the shed blood of the cross. So the blood of Yeshua, the blood shed on the cross, takes away the law and its handwriting that was against you, strips away all of your transgressions and sins so that the devil can't use them against you, and God even chooses to remember them no more. Why should you remember them if God doesn't remember them and Satan can't use them against you? Why is it that we're so willing to use it against ourselves? Next time you're remembering something and feeling guilt or shame over things you did in the past, ask yourself that question. Hebrews chapter 9. We almost read some of these scriptures during the Torah reading, but I'm going to flank the part of the Torah reading that was read this morning with a couple scriptures from Hebrews about the blood. In chapter 11 of Hebrews 9, or chapter 9, verse 11, it said, Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Your redemption isn't from one year to the next like it was for the Jews during the sacrificial times of the temple. They had to hope that the high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, would be granted to live for another year and that they would have atonement for 1 year at a time. But when Yeshua took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, it was once for all and was for all time. He obtained eternal redemption for you. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by which means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. So we have an eternal inheritance, and our redemption has been paid for once and for all, forever, for all time. And then in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he's consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, if the devil tries to perpetuate a lie and a fear in your life, and you read these verses, he who promised is faithful, my sins have been forgiven, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God, those fears and lies, they don't have a chance. They can't continue to bother you when you have these truths in you and you know that you can find them at the moment's notice. Let's look at 1 Peter 1 again, verses 18 through 21. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. That means you inherited a lot of things from Adam and your whole generation of people who came in your family before you, generational curses, character traits, things that you might not have done yourself that can still affect you spiritually. But when you were redeemed with the precious blood of Messiah as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, then he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world and manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, and not in something that can be eaten away over time or corrupt and fade, but it's everlasting. He's the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever. God is immutable. He can't change, even if he wanted to. He swore on himself that he would never change. And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if you're cleansed from all sin and you're walking in the light, there's no lie or fear left that can support an idol and a stronghold in your life. Because those things exist in shadows and in darkness and in places that the light doesn't shine. Let's look at Revelation 1, verse 4 through 6. Revelation 1, verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Yeshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The blood of the cross, the blood of the Lamb, is a mighty and powerful weapon that you can hold up and show to the lie, the idol, the fear, the devil, and say, look, this has happened, and you cannot accuse me because I'm covered by this blood once and for all. It's a powerful weapon, and we need to know it, and we need to use it. Now, the third weapon that's mighty in God for pulling down strongholds is the name of Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah. And every week, for I don't know how long now, we've been reading John 14, verses 12 through 14. And we're trying to believe that this is actually going to manifest in our lives in reality, literally as it's written. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So does that include asking Yeshua to please help you get rid of a stronghold that's in your life in his name, to expose the idols that are in your life in his name, to tell you the truth that counteracts the lie and makes it powerless in your life, or to take away the fear because he loves you more than you even love yourself? In his name, we can do great things, and we can win the spiritual battle because we have at our disposal powerful weapons that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, and we need to know how to use them. In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, my wife Jane and I went to India in January on a mission trip, and we some of you who don't know me for very long see me as a rabbi preaching here from time to time, but I was a doctor in the world for 50 years before I became a believer, and I had a lot of life experience before I became a rabbi. And after I became a believer, and before I went to Bible school and eventually became a rabbi, I had experiences that where we laid hands on the sick and they recovered, where we cast out demons in the name of Yeshua, and we did things that are written about in the Bible in the book of Acts, and I thought that this was normal Christian life. And then I found out that in churches all over the country, nobody does this, and they don't even believe that it can be done in a lot of churches. And I was dumbfounded because I was raised Jewish. I didn't have a lot of denominational, doctrinal Christianity to pollute my thinking. I just thought, if you're a child of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit's in you and it says in the Word that we should be doing these things, I went out and I did them. And I thought, why isn't everybody doing this? I was just so naive and fresh that I really believed that this was real. Duh. Well, it is real. It is real. And we don't have to go to India to see it. We can see it here. And we have seen it here. And if you are not seeing these things happen in your life, then you need to start getting taught about the reality that's in the Word of God, the power that's in the name of Jesus, and what the blood accomplished for you. And maybe if you start using these weapons that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, one of the strongholds it'll pull down is that a belief that these things don't happen anymore. Because they do happen. If you aren't on board with believing that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real and active in the world right now, today, that's a stronghold in your life. It's based on a lie, it's based on a fear, and it's based on an idol. The idol is that your denomination is more important and holy to you than the Word of God itself. The lie is that somehow, somewhere, someone convinced you that this kind of stuff ended in the first century and it isn't for today. And the fear is that if your denominational thinking isn't correct on the things that you believed all your life and your idol gets exposed, you'd have to change. Oh, golly, change is so hard. What if everybody changed their thinking in the church that doesn't do anything and started believing the Word of God, calling on the name of Jesus, casting out demons, healing the sick, and leading their neighbors to the Lord? Wouldn't that be terrible? God. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. Peter and John had just healed a person, and they were being grilled by the religious leaders. And they said, "How did this lame man get healed?" And the answer was, "In his name, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It wasn't magic, it wasn't sorcery, it was faith and belief in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And in chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Philippians 2, we're talking about the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth." Well, the little demon that's trying to keep you stuck in your stronghold is one of those powers that has to bow to the name of Jesus and confess that he is Lord and that your idol isn't. Colossians 3:17. As Tim said earlier, sometimes the word speaks for itself and doesn't need to be embellished. Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What if we all did every word and every deed, every day of our lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him? What would the world look like if we didn't have selfishness and greed and idolatry and pornography and all these horrible things? Same-sex marriage, killing innocent babies. What if all that went away because people did everything in word or deed as if they were doing it unto the Lord? Boy, I wouldn't mind living in a world like that. What about you? Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Another interesting thing to remind yourself about the word of God and the name of Yeshua. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And then at the end it says it again, O God, my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. But look at verse 2, the last part of it. It says that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. The word and the name of God will silence your enemy, the one that's trying to keep you in bondage. If you evoke it in the name of Yeshua, if you say you're covered by the blood, if you say that the truth is in the word of God and what you're telling me isn't true and I don't have to listen to you anymore. And it says right here, yes, the Lord will silence the enemy and the avenger in your life. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise what? The name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. So we need to pray and bless and sit on the power that's in the name of the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. And it'll help to pull down strongholds in your life. When things in the natural material world seem to be going downhill for you or for me, we need to take our faith and our trust in God and send them uphill. Every stronghold in your life is based on a lie. If you expose the lie and counter it with truth from the Word of God and shed light on it, it will expose it. John chapter 1, I just have a few scriptures left. Thank you for being patient. John chapter 1, in verse 4 it says, in Yeshua was life, and the life was the light of men. Why am I talking about that? Well, let's look at John 3 for a second. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Hallelujah. And look at Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 11. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And listen to this. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, some of the unfruitful works of darkness are the lies and fears that hold up strongholds and idols in your life. But if you shed the light of the Lord Jesus onto them, if you shed the light of the truth of the Word of God onto them, if you shed the power that's in the blood and the name of Yeshua onto those lies and those dark places, they will not be able to stand it. And you will be victorious over those things because you let the light shine on it and expose it, the light of the truth that's in Yeshua. Fear of rejection, unworthiness, and failure are some of the fears that lie beneath, that uphold the lie that your stronghold might be based on. But when we shed light on our fears, and we realize how much God really loves us, His perfect love casts out all fear, and you're cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. But Paul prayed just a beautiful prayer in Ephesians 3. I'm going to read verses 14 through 19. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in your inner man, that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Messiah, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, if you know that Yeshua, that God loves you, the lies that the enemy wants to speak in your subconscious thoughts don't have a chance. There is no greater personal revelation that any person can come to other than Jesus loves me. God loves me. So, you know, you can never go further in your spiritual walk with God than your own self-image will allow you to go. But your self-image shouldn't be based on your memories of past failures. It should be based on Yeshua's success and who you are in Him. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, I put my past to rest. I plead the blood of Yeshua over everything that you try to torment me with, Satan, and you cannot touch me because I'm cleansed and made new and perfect, and I'm being regenerated into His very image by the blood of Messiah. And I can see scripture after scripture after scripture in my Bible that counteracts every lie you ever tried to tell me, and I'm not going to believe any of them anymore. I'm going to shine the light of the truth of the Word of God on those lies, and there's not going to be any idols, any places in my life that you can attack me or keep me down, because I'm going as high as I can go and as far as I can get in Yeshua the Messiah. And my own self-image isn't going to be the thing that holds me back. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he, it says in Proverbs. How you think about yourself determines how you actually are. Imagine that. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can conjure up some grandiose notion of who you could be if you could only get yourself to really believe it, because you won't really believe it in your heart anyway. But it means that if you come to a knowledge of the truth of who you are in God, then things are possible that previously were not possible in your life. And that's when you can say unto that fountain, "Be moved into the sea," and it will be moved. The truth is in the weapons of our warfare that are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The Word of God, the blood of the cross, the name of Jesus. Father, teach us to employ these weapons, to have them handy in our arsenal at all times. Uncover the idols, the fears, and the lies that might be holding us back, and set us free. Set us free to pursue the upward walk, the upward call of God and Messiah Yeshua, so that as Paul the Apostle wrote, that we can lay hold of that for which Messiah has also laid hold of us. We ask this in your mighty holy name, the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.